The Bible instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we also have the right and responsibility to vote for those who will represent us. We encourage you to study the Bible to see what God says about elected officials and study where the candidates stand on those issues. We will have voter guides available soon to assist you in this matter, so stay tuned.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Pastor Brian Longworth.
We are today continuing our sermon series, Applying Biblical Principles to Government. And why are we doing this? Because God cares about all areas of life. The Bible speaks to all areas of life. The Bible speaks to your life, also your family, to your church, to the church at large, God's church at large, and also to civil government, local, state, and federal. And you should be, we encourage you to read the Bible and to read the Bible through this view of looking at what the Bible actually says about these various areas, including government. Government is very important, and we have learned and we have actually shown from the Bible that God cares about whether the government enacts just laws or not, whether judges enact and rule justly or not, whether the rulers of a country, of a state, of a city are actually honoring God. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to many people. Proverbs 14:34. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when a wicked man rules, the people groan. Proverbs 29:2. In America, we have a right and a responsibility to actually vote for those who would be over us, for those who would be in elected office. And in fact, in America, we, the people, make up the government. And we can run for office. We can certainly find out what the Bible says about government. We can find out where the candidates stand on those issues, and we can vote according to biblical values for the candidates that most closely represent those principles. Some of the things that we have gone over, that rulers must recognize God as our creator. And this is really where it starts. If you believe that there's a God, you believe that you're subject to his rules and his laws, and you're going to govern yourself accordingly. If you don't believe that there is a God, then you can do whatever you want to do with whomever you want to do it. And you see people actually committing all kinds of sins, not only against God, but also against others as well. Rulers must read God's law and fear and obey God. It was a commandment for the king of Israel to actually have the book of the law of God and to read it. And really, our rulers today should actually read the law of God. We also went over that rulers must rule justly. Judges must rule justly. We went over that rulers must honor God. Our constitution and laws should be based on God's law. And this is what we've gone over. We also started to go over, and we'll continue that today, the sanctity of human life. The necessity that rulers would defend every human life without exception. And we'll go over this more today, more extensively today. In this study, we are actually quoting the Word of God, and we're quoting from the Founding Fathers. Not that the Founding Fathers are on the same level as the Word of God, but to show that the Founding Fathers actually believed that God should be involved in government, and that Christians should be involved in government, and that Christians should actually, and that really we should actually select Christians to be in places of office. And so we're going to turn to Charles Finney today, and actually he wasn't a founding father, but he was a part of the Second Great Awakening. The time has come that Christians must vote for honest men and take consistent ground in politics, or the Lord will curse them. Christians have been exceedingly guilty in this matter, but the time has come when they must act differently. Christians seem to act as if they thought God did not see what they do in politics. But I tell you, he does see it, and he will bless or curse this nation according to the course they, Christians, take in politics. Pastor Francis Grimke wrote this: if the time ever comes when we shall go to pieces, it will be from inward corruption, from the disregard of right principles, from losing sight of the fact that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. He's quoting from Proverbs 14:34 that we quoted just a minute ago. The secession of the southern states in 1860 was a small matter with the secession of the Union itself from the great principles enunciated in the Declaration of Independence, in the Golden Rule, in the Ten Commandments, in the Sermon on the Mount. Unless we hold and hold firmly to these great fundamental principles of righteousness, our union will be only a covenant with death and an agreement with hell. Let us turn to the Word of God and the principles of the Word of God. And we see that rulers must defend innocent human life. And again, we started talking about this last week, the key passage, the foundation of it all, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Because we are created in God's image, we are different than animals. We're different than birds. We're different than giraffes. We're different than dogs and cats. God created human beings to have a relationship with us. We have a responsibility to protect innocent human life. This sanctity of life is actually the very reason that God instituted the death penalty. And there are some that are pro-life that don't believe in the death penalty. They believe it's a violation of God's word. But really, we need to read God's word. We need to read the Bible. We need to not just have human reasoning. We need to read what God says and apply it to our lives, our families, our church, God's church universally across the world, even throughout time, and also to government, our cities, our states, our school boards, our nation. We need to actually apply biblical principles to government because we are created in God's image. And every human life should be recognized and protected. God actually instituted the death penalty for the purpose of protecting innocent human life. When Noah and his family went onto the ark, they actually, and God destroyed all of mankind because people were violating God's commandments to a great extent. And we're even not respecting human life. And so we see Genesis chapter 9, Noah and his family came off the ark, and God actually meets with them. And one of the things God said in Genesis 9, verse 6, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. So we see that human beings are created in the image of God. And we're created in the image of God. And as such, when a human being takes the life of another human being, that human's life should be taken. Not just arbitrarily, but the person should be tried. Certainly they should be given a fair trial. The Bible actually, God's law does speak and give specific direction on how fair trials should happen. In fact, if you were to have a trial under biblical principles, according to the principles that are laid out in the Bible, and someone were to accuse you of something that you didn't do, and it was determined in court that you didn't do that, that person that falsely testified against you would actually receive the same penalty that you would have received. So in a capital offense, that would be the death penalty. If someone stood up and said, I saw this person kill someone, and that person did not kill someone, and it was determined that they were lying, then that person, under a biblical judicial system, would actually receive the same penalty, which again, in this case, would be death. And so there were standards, there were provisions made to actually ensure fair trials. And in a case of a death penalty, there had to be two or three witnesses as well, which also protects the innocent. The death penalty protects the innocent. The death penalty for murder protects the innocent because it places a high regard on innocent human life. If your life is taken, one of the things that happens sometimes today is that people go out and they kill someone. And then, they're actually sometimes spend 10 or 20 years in jail and are then released to actually go out and potentially reoffend. And this is something that really, if you take someone's life, if someone takes your life, the penalty for that should be the death penalty. This is biblical, and it's to protect innocent human life. We also see that this should be applied universally without exception. This is something that God says. You know, today in our culture, when we talk about innocent human life in the womb, we see quite often there are exceptions that are carved out. And one of those exceptions is the rape and incest exception. The rape and incest exception violates God's holy standards. We actually look in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 16, where we see, fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers. A person shall be put to death for his own sin. Now, I mentioned just a little bit ago, that the death penalty was instituted to protect innocent human life. And the first instance of that is in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. But when you read through the law of God, you also will see that the death penalty was also applied to people who committed rape. So the death penalty was designed to also protect humans from being raped. And in all 50 states in this nation, if you were to go back 70 years ago, maybe 80 years ago in this nation, in all 50 states, the penalty for rape was either life in prison or the death penalty. Today, we no longer have the death penalty for rape. The U.S. Supreme Court, not the current U.S. Supreme Court, but a previous U.S. Supreme Court, ruled that that would be cruel and unusual punishment. And so so what you actually see today is statutory guidelines, and you see people committing rape and sometimes getting a 10-year sentence and then being released and being put on a sexual offender list. Many of them do re-offend. And yet the biblical principle is for that person to be put to death. Today, again, they're not put to death. They're put into jail for a certain period of time. They're released, and they may reoffend. Many of them do. But their child that was conceived in rape many times is actually executed through abortion. This is a violation of God's word. You may not like it. It certainly, a child conceived in rape is difficult. It's difficult for a woman to go through rape. What we need to do, though, is return to biblical standards. We need to put the rapist to death. That's the biblical standard. And we need to not put the preborn child to death. We've actually had people in our organization, Personhood Florida, we actually, in addition to being a pastor here, one of the ministries that we support, and I'm the president, the state president of Personhood Florida, is we are actually working to protect every innocent human life. And we have had women that have interviewed other women who have been raped and who also have gone through an abortion. And they said that the abortion was more traumatic than the rape. Why? Because they actually participated in the death of their own child. Certainly it wasn't a child that was conceived by their voluntary action. It was forced upon them. But still, that human life is innocent. And in this country, under biblical law and under our Constitution, we are not to put to death someone who hasn't done anything wrong. We are to put to death only people who have committed a capital offense. The preborn child has not committed a capital offense. When we look at the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, commonly referred to as the Declaration of Independence, we read these famous words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life is the first right, the first unalienable right. If we don't have the right to life, no other rights mean any difference, make any difference to us. We need to have this right to life and to support this right to life and to defend every innocent human life without exception. Rulers must also defend marriage. Also from that passage in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, we see that God created man in his own image. He created them male and female. Going on to verse 28, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, and have dominion over it, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And also in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This is the biblical standard. One man, one woman throughout history until death do them part. And really, Jesus also confirmed this standard in the New Testament. Jesus, not that he would have needed to, for us to believe that it's applicable today, because God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But Jesus also confirmed this in the New Testament, that the pattern should be one man, one woman, until death do them part. When rulers allow and condone homosexual marriages, they are violating the Word of God, violating Genesis chapter 1, violating Genesis chapter 2, and the principles that we see in the Word of God and that we see in Scripture. So we need to return to a point where human beings, where we actually have marriage between one man and one woman. Also, in marriage, it should not be easy to get a divorce. We shouldn't just be allowing divorce for just any reason. Oh, well, we just couldn't get along. Well, repent. The Bible says that we are to, husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? Well, he died on the cross for the church. Wives are to submit to the husbands. And so we need to actually repent of our sins and humble ourselves and be faithful to one another. And our laws should actually support families between one man and one woman until death do us part. We see also that rulers must defend boys and girls from mutilation. What do I mean by this? Well, we see children today that are growing up and maybe confused a little bit. And certainly the time of puberty is a time where there's a lot of confusion that young people have, wondering, well, what is changing? Why am I like this? Why are these feelings here? And even sometimes boys that like to maybe associate with girls or girls that like to associate with boys starting to think, well, maybe I should be a boy or maybe I should be a girl. And really, sometimes the medical staff have actually encouraged young people, encouraged parents to allow this to happen also, to be mutilated, to want girls to have their breasts removed, boys to have their male organ chopped off, girls to have fake organs added to them. These are violations of God's commandments. God created them male and female, created us in our own image. We've read this, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, created us in his image, and we are created male and female. If you're a male, you actually were created in your mother's womb as a male. If you're a female, you were created in your mother's womb as a female. You can have a surgery that makes you look like the other sex or more like the other sex, but you will always be the sex that God created you to be. Certainly there are people that say, well, you know, I feel like I'm this. Well, it doesn't matter what you feel like. And especially we have, again, doctors and in some cases laws that allow this to happen for sex changes. And doctors actually even encouraging this and pushing this. You may have heard of Chloe Cole. She actually was a young girl in California, and she was molested by a boy, and her breasts were part of that, and she was really ashamed of her breast and really traumatized by this situation, and she tried to hide her breast, hide her femininity, and she actually was, doctors actually told her parents, you need to allow her to have a sex change. And you need to allow her to have a mastectomy, double mastectomy. Because if you don't, she may actually commit suicide. What parent wants their child to commit suicide? No parents want their children to commit suicide. So what actually happened is the parents did allow her to go through a double mastectomy. She didn't realize the consequences of this, that she would actually change, that there she would actually go through puberty, that she would actually have feelings one day, that she would actually could never actually have a baby in the future and nurse this baby. like other women can, if many other women can nurse a baby. She would not be able to actually do this. And yet, she was the doctors pushed this on her. And she later developed infections and developed sores. And she also realized that she had made a mistake and wanted to go back and wanted to change things. Of course, you can't totally reverse that. The doctors that did this surgery to her that caused this harm, she actually has wounds on her chest. And the doctors wouldn't do anything. They wouldn't help her. The same doctors that caused this would not help her and would not support her. When we look at the Bible, again, we see that we are created in God's image. We're created male and female. We also see that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning of verse 19, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So we need to honor God and accept how He has created us. And parents need to reaffirm their children and encourage their children to accept how God has created them. And certainly they may be different. They may like hanging out. Girls may like hanging out with boys, and boys may like hanging out with girls and doing some of the things that they do. That doesn't make them the opposite sex. And we need to turn back to God and apply these biblical principles to our lives, our families, our churches, and our cities, our states, and our nation. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
The Bible instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we also have the right and responsibility to vote for those who will represent us. We encourage you to study the Bible to see what God says about elected officials and study where the candidates stand on those issues. We will have voter guides available soon to assist you in this matter, so stay tuned.
Please listen to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael every Saturday at 3 p.m. for encouragement from the Holy Bible for life's journey. Thank you.
You cannot win the spiritual battle with partial obedience. You cannot win the spiritual fight with a temporary obedience. You can only win with a total and unconditional obedience to God as He's revealed in the Word of God.
Learn more on Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef.
9:30 a.m. and p.m. daily on WCNO.
The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasser Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise.
Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. for the Baptist Bible Hour right here on the Good News Station, WCNO.